Good morning and welcome in to another edition of The Blitz here on this Tuesday morning, live on Fan Run Radio, live in the Fan Run Radio studios. 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. Charlie Collier, Stackhouse, here with you on this Tuesday as we continue along this week. Getting antsy. These weeks are going too slow. I'm ready. Reached the point in the season now where I'm ready for the postseason. We still got one more series against Mississippi State, and like that's gonna be a good time.
Especially being down there in Starkville, so
going down to the Dude, like that's fun. But I'm ready. I kind of wish like the SEC tournament was just starting already.
I agree.
I guess you don't want to wish your life away. Don't want to wish an awesome season away. I'm just getting antsy, man.
Yeah, you want to get to the part again where it's kind of a big deal.
And I'm ready to just watch a bunch of conference tournaments all across the country too. Just put it on like that ESPN bases loaded. But anyway, Stackhouse, how you doing this morning?
Man,
got anything going on with you?
I'm actually doing pretty good. I got a lot to look forward to today, I guess. I'm excited. I'm gonna get off the air here, go home, and just deep clean my house because of all last week just not being around. So I'm gonna clean my house, and then I got 3 perfectly fried catfish fillets waiting on me.
Oh, like already fried?
Oh yeah, they're ready for me. Well, not I guess not already fried, but they're going to be perfectly fried.
Oh, you're going to be fried. Oh,
and I'm gonna make me a nice white bread catfish sandwich, 2 slices of onion, mustard, and hot sauce. I've been thinking about this since I went to bed last night. I ain't had a good catfish sandwich in a minute. My boy out in I guess East Knoxville, he's closed up his fish shop or something like that. But man, so I'm looking forward to that, and then I'm probably just gonna hang out the rest of the day, watch some basketball, watch some hockey, watch a little baseball, and there we go. And that's good. That seems like a great Tuesday to me. What about you, Charlie? Are you excited today?
I am pretty excited. It's a big day. We got the second round of the NHL playoffs starting. We got, obviously, my Miami Heat tonight at 8:30 in the Eastern Conference Finals. Which, when I was looking at when the schedule came out, I was still in the Central Time Zone.
Oh, really?
So I'm actually just now. I didn't think about it. So like, it
does your phone does it not automatically change?
No, it does. But like, when I was looking at the ESPN app, like it was showing me times in Central Time.
Oh,
well, like, I just didn't think about it. So this, I've been under the impression that the Heat game was at 7:30 actually until about 30 seconds ago.
It said 6:30.
8:30.
Oh, time. My bad.
Yeah. So
math, dude.
That actually works out perfect. With the Vols game, I can...
Because that tips off at like 6, right?
Yeah, because Tennessee, first pitch is at 6 o'clock. So then I can, actually go to that game.
You got a lot of love show today, don't you? You got 3 teams.
I do.
You got a lot of love to show today, Charlie.
There's a lot going on, but... Yeah, so I can go to that game at 6, and I can probably be back in my apartment by like 9:15, 9 o'clock.
And miss the most useless
miss
part
the
of the
first
game.
Quarter, which would be unfortunate, but I'll listen to it, and then we'll go from there. Okay, so that works out really well.
Yeah, you're having
They just got better.
You're going to get to see everything.
Man, also working last night.
Oh, yeah, that's right. How did that go?
I was the first cut, and I was still there like an hour and 45 minutes after close.
Oh my! What? They just were like, "All right, you can finally go."
It was so busy
on a Monday.
Yeah,
that's wild.
I guess graduation week, but
oh yeah, I guess that is this weekend, isn't it? Oh man, that sucks. I'm sorry. I hate when it's a busy Monday. That's the day you kind of pray that it's just so slow that you don't have to do anything. And just kick your feet back up.
But yeah, tonight I'm going to the Tennessee game.
Oh, you're going to it?
Yeah.
Oh, dope.
Gotta go watch. Oh, it's always a tough day for me whenever Tennessee plays Belmont.
Because you don't want people to view you as a hater of Tennessee just because you got some friends.
Yeah, I mean, because just like my best friend in the world plays for Belmont, like he's their closer. So in the past, you know, I've just, hey, go Vols, but you know, when if you come in and pitch in the seventh or eighth, like I hope you go three up, three down, buddy. Like I hope you strike out the side.
Go you, please. Yeah. I love seeing the homies shine, so I'm 100% behind that.
But
man,
like over the years, I've also just become like much better friends with a lot of the other people on the team through him. You know, like gone on like trips with them and like, you know, stayed with them and everything else. So
you might become a Bruin just underneath
all
their noses.
Of a sudden it's like, well, also I hope the guy hitting third, like, you know, I hope you have a nice night, but you still lose. And then
it's like, okay,
well,
to like multiple teams. It's okay to have a fan base.
You can't. But it's tough to root against Tennessee. But this year, like his senior year, they need this one to potentially try to be an at-large team. You know, who knows? But I got my Tennessee hat, my Heat shirt, and my Belmont jersey. So I got all the bases covered right now.
You know, some might say that hat's a little bit smaller than that Belmont jersey.
Others would say that this Belmont jersey is just happens to be the only thing I own that says Belmont. And it's also
significantly too small. I'm just preparing you for the things that people are going to come at you with.
It's significantly too small, too. I cannot button it. I just have to wear it open.
Baseball jerseys aren't really meant to. It's okay.
But, yeah, because it's also just one of his old jerseys.
Oh.
And he is like 5'10", like 175.
Jersey swapped with him, dude? Give him one of your old graphic tees? But I don't care. I mean, honestly, dude. People will be hating on you at the stadium today. Just get ready. There's going to be some cross eyes, some side glances. Maybe a couple, you know, drink tamperings going on. A little extra salt in the brim. Who knows?
Yeah, well, understood. I get it. I get it. You know, I feel icky myself kind of sometimes, but
I don't know. You're allowed to have respect for multiple teams, man. If you got homies, you got to let the homies shine. Homies belong to shine. You want to see every one of the people you love be successful.
Exactly, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, after this year, I will never care about Belmont baseball again.
Exactly. So why can't you have a moment?
But anyway, yeah. No shoes, Belmont tonight, no shirt, actually a very good team. A really, really solid team that's coming in here. They're in like first place in the OVC right now. They have a surefire MLB draft pick in center field. They have another guy that could be an MLB guy in the right field, and another guy that could be an MLB guy in their starting rotation. You know, they have some all-conference guys. They, again, like, they could try to make the tournament. If they can't win their conference, like, they would have a decent resume for it. So, you know, you're going to get a fun game tonight. But with all that being said, yeah, I guess we got a lot to get into today. We'll preview that baseball game later. We will take a look at the Eastern Conference Finals and, you know, bounce a little bit everywhere. Also, Tennessee landed a big commitment this morning. So we'll take a look at that as well. All that and more on today's episode or show of On the Blitz Today.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's a Tuesday. It's stay worse than us. A Monday.
Back here on the Blitz tonight, the Eastern Conference Finals get underway as we're inching closer to finding out who will be our NBA Finals matchup. And this Eastern Conference Finals is going to be a lot of fun. It is going to be a lot of fun. Celtics, Heat, Tatum and Butler, physical teams, I think really well coached teams. And definitely a series that whoever comes out of is going to probably be feeling the effects of. But again, tonight, 8:30, the Heat are favorites. Now, obviously we know that Jason Tatum, probably the best player in the series. The Heat know that too. Or they probably don't think that. But, you know, Jason Tatum, probably the best player in the series. And then Jaylen Brown, you know, up there too, obviously. The Celtics probably have two of the three best players in the series.
I mean, then you have the Defensive Player of the Year as well. So,
which
I know, but he is, and he was. So
he was. He shouldn't have been.
I don't know.
He shouldn't have even been like top three.
Some might say that Joel Embiid made Bam look less likely than he. It was the right call.
Someone say that Bam battled back pretty good in that series. Substantially bothered Joel Embiid after games 3 and 4.
Some might say that was his face. You know, I'm just saying.
I feel like people put too much stock into the face injury too. I feel like if my face hurts, that shouldn't really affect that like my basketball abilities that much, right?
I have no idea. I'm terrified to be like, no. I agree with you. But then I'm like, man, if somebody broke my eye face, like the part of my face that just surrounds my whole eye socket, dude, I mean, that would affect your breathing. Like every time you breathe through your nose, you know that's got to like affect it because you're at least flexing that cartilage there in the nose. I don't know, but that's in the past. That was an old series. We're moving forward. We've got the Defensive Player of the Years, of Players of the Year. Both of them. We'll give it to them both, just for you.
Well, either way, the real Defensive Player of the Year, in my eyes, Bam Adebayo versus the fraudulent Defensive Player of the Year. Bam had a big series when these guys met last time around. You know, he had that awesome block again at the end, at the end of the game there to save it for the Heat. The Heat winning that series in six. Going to be a lot different this time when you're in two
packed arenas.
Yeah, I'm not going to compare Miami's environment to Boston because I'll be honest, you know, a pretty good but not overwhelming environment in Miami and then an absolutely absurd environment in Boston. Like, obviously, you know, we've seen how important home court's been this playoffs, but
Boston fans versus Florida fans.
You know, despite Jason Tatum clearly being the best player in the series, though, Butler has been much more consistent this playoff.
That's what I was going to say. Playoff Butler is it rivals
Butler
Jason.
Has not only been more consistent, I think he's arguably better than Jason Tatum this postseason and could have even been the best player so far this postseason. Just in terms of,
in the East,
of how they've performed.
In the East, I'll give you – I just think Luka's dominating so much.
But he has some bad games in there.
I agree with that, too. But I think that goes just towards the consistent factor. Because, I mean, even Jimmy, he hasn't put 30 up every game. But I agree in that.
And when you
in
look
that
at
last
Jimmy,
series, I mean, he was just the only piece.
In that Hawks series, he had 21-6-4 in game one. And then 45-5-5.
He went nuts in that game.
In game two. 20-10-8. In game three, and then 36-10-4 in game two. And that's while he's just doing all the little things right, too. He shot over 54% in that series. The lowest shooting percentage in a game was 40. The other were all above 55% or better. He shot in the series 45% from three against the Hawks. He was every bit as important on defense as well. And then you fast forward to that series with the Sixers. Game one was by far his worst game, and that was when the Sixers played arguably their best defensive game when they really
without Joel and stuff.
They could have without Joel. Yeah, obviously that was their best non-Joel game three effort. But
I agree.
You know, because they threw that zone, and it was really just a high low with Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo. But you know, the Heat struggled with their spacing, and they struggled to get Jimmy Butler going. And he was, you know, he had 15 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists on just 31% from the field, 25% shooting. Every game, though, from then on out, I mean, he had 22, 33, 40, 23, and 32 in the closeout. All of those games, he amassed 8 or more rebounds. You know, he had 4 more assists. One game, he had 12 assists.
I shot do
that,
not
in
disagree.
That series over 50% as well.
But I would only ask you is that
now I'll
Jason has done it against KD and
that's
then
where
Giannis.
I was going.
Yeah.
Now the counter to that, which I agree with, is that Jason Tatum has had a significantly tougher matchup. Significantly.
And I think that's the only way you probably say he's been the better player, or he's the better player in the series. I think he's the better player.
Jason Tatum is much better than Jimmy Butler.
Jason Tatum
is a top five player in the
but
NBA.
Jimmy Butler is
I
not
100%
a slouch,
agree there.
And he's not.
What
he's
I'm
not,
saying is
yeah.
that just Jimmy Butler has played better in these playoffs. You know, with respect again though to who the
competition
who's been,
is.
The who's been guarding him? Like you know, Jason Tatum's had it much tougher. And this series, I think Tatum, you know, finally going to get the opportunity to at least try to attack the paint a little bit more.
He hasn't. I wouldn't say Bam is as much of a threat to lock down the inside as the past as Giannis was, I guess. But even,
I just think on
the
perimeter,
you
know, maybe it could be a little bit tougher. You know, it could be a little bit easier for him to get to the paint.
Yeah. I just even against the Nets though, you didn't see him. I felt he put on a shooting clinic against the Nets.
I don't know how well we match up with Jason Tatum, to be honest. I don't know how well the Heat do. I also don't really think that
I think
Jimmy, you know, has a matchup that he can take advantage of offensively. But
well, I think this is a series. Tyler Hero has to be more consistent because he's been the kind of that one piece that they really need, especially while Kyle Lowry's not back. Of just being that extra scorer, but he needs to do it every night and not just do it every other night or every couple nights and then have a couple off nights, you know what I mean? Because if that's the case, then the Celtics, like you said, there's a lot of people that they can switch onto Jimmy and kind of keep him contained, but it's still playoff Butler and he's going to get his buckets, I think. I just don't know.
I think both of these teams are really capable of winning it all.
Yeah, that's
I think whoever wins this series wins it all. I mean, really, since the trade deadline, the Celtics have had both the best offense and best defense in the league, one of the best records in the league. Then they continue to prove that they can guard against Kevin Durant, against Giannis Antetokounmpo.
That's the scariest part.
They can play big. They can play small. They have a good bench. I think Miami has a better bench, but the Celtics
up.
Have a good bench.
Pritchard's stepped up and done great controlling ball when he's needed to.
Now, maybe that sometimes they get a little impatient offensively, and that
I think that's just the youth of the team.
That could play into the Heat's favor. You know, the Heat, such a smart and patient defensive team. You know, maybe they can try to take advantage of some over aggression from Boston, but
oh no, you'll see Boston turn the ball over and Miami be able to take advantage of it. I tell you, that's why I think this series is just a dogfight, man, because it is going to be two very well coached teams, two good defensive teams. Honestly, I don't put Miami's defense so much further behind. Boston's, I would say that they have a couple more weaknesses than Boston would. I just think they're able to kind of get torched a little from the deep because Tyler Hero is he's not your best defender. Neither is.
I'm really excited though to watch this series play out and monitor too some of those totals. I mean, my Eric Spoelstra was talking to the media yesterday, and he was like, "Hey, this is a throwback series. You know, this is you have two really committed defensive teams, which, you know, it's not going to break any records, but the lowest scoring playoff game in NBA history, 2002 Eastern Conference semifinals, the Celtics scored 66 and won.
Oh my gosh.
I would love to see that. That would be hilarious.
That would be so great. Especially in today's game, dude. That would have to come with so many just missed buckets.
But this is going to be, again, I mean, these are two coaches that put defense first. It was Jimmy Butler who, after game five, when the Heat went back at home, you know, he was saying after the game, we told everyone on the team, we made it our focus. We were going to focus on defense. We weren't going to worry about the offense and let the offense come. And that's been an approach that's kind of worked this season. You know, the Celtics and the Heat were two of the best defensive teams in the league. Boston had the top defensive rating. The Heat were fourth. The Celtics gave up 104 a game. The Heat 105. These teams, again, I told you yesterday, they split the season series 2-2. And each of the team's two respective wins, they held the opposition to a significantly lower point total than the opposition season average.
It's going to be fun. I hope this series just does not disappoint.
Who do you think wins this series?
Man.
Kyle Lowry is out tonight.
Because that's crazy. Because I picked... Kyle Lowry is out tonight?
Yeah.
Wow, what? Ugh. I wish he just didn't come back in that last series. He's just going to re-injure it. I'm going to have to go with Boston because of how they're playing defense. Because of who they've just come through. Granted, Milwaukee needed Chris Middleton so much that I don't think that series is the same situation if Chris Middleton is there. Jrue Holiday just wasn't the second player they needed. But, man, and that's what kind of makes me iffy on Boston. But I think just being able to stop Giannis as well as they did and having Grant Williams step up in the manner that he did to become that fifth, sixth player they need, and especially while Robert Williams is out. I mean, they needed Grant more than any of them while Williams is out, or they wouldn't have anybody really big enough to put in front of Giannis at all. But I just think Boston is playing too well on both ends of the court to be beat in a seven-game series. I think Jason Tatum this might be his coming out party. Like, if he makes it to the finals, I mean, you can't not call him a superstar anymore, especially if he even wins it. Right now, I feel like he's still like a lower-tier level superstar kind of thing. Just almost a superstar, but just not quite made a name. Done anything to prove that point besides make all-star appearances. But I'm telling you, man, Jimmy Butler's not somebody to look down upon in the playoffs because he gets to that same mindset LeBron does when he's there. He's not going to be taken out lightly. He's going to go down with a fight. And that's the whole entire Heat's like mentality too. So I mean, every one of the players are like that. So it's going to be a fun series. But I'm going to go Boston in seven.
Boston in seven. The biggest thing that worries me is who else can be there consistently with. To help Jimmy Butler out.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jimmy Butler in for a much tougher matchup again. It's a team that can guard him a lot better. So if he's not having really good nights, you know, who's he going to be for the Heat? I don't know. And maybe the biggest X factor in this series is Tyler Hero.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Hero this year, obviously, he was the sixth man of the year. He was a guy that averaged over 20 points a game. Tyler Hero in the playoffs, he's had his moments. You know, there was that game one again where him and Bam were beautiful running that high-low game. You know, he had 25 that game. Went back, did the same thing in game two. You know, shot 52% in game one, 60% in game two, scored 25 in game one, 18 in game two. Then they kind of changed up how they were playing him, and he proceeded to go 2 for 7, 1 for 5, 0 for 2, and 0 for 2 from 3, and 5 for 12, 4 from 8, 4 for 12, and 5 from 15 from the field goal, you know, or for just, you know, field goal wise. Under 50% each time.
Mm-hmm.
14 points, 11 points, 10 points, and 10 points. You know, 10 points under a season average in the two closeout games. It was still enough to beat Philly, but
that's just not even a...
You know, looking back to that Hawks series, too, four of the five games he was held under his season average. There were two games that he had 6 points and 3 points. Tyler Hero needs to emerge as a potential secondary scoring option for this Heat, or for this Heat team, and be able to get, you know, close to 20, to 18.
I think he needs to hit his average.
With Kyle Lowry out, you know, that makes it that much tougher. So, you know, with the Heat, I always kind of say this too. You know, there are people that say, well, who is it going to be? You know, who can you count on consistently? And it doesn't have to be the same guy every night. Like, that is one of the luxuries the Heat have is
you can throw Duncan Robinson.
They're
in
so deep
or something,
and so versatile that one night it can be Jimmy scoring, you know, 30, and you'd have Max Strus put in 21,
yeah.
And you can have Victor Oladipo give you 17, and that's a pretty good effort right there. You know, maybe the next night, or maybe it's like game one the next time, and Jimmy Butler has 24, but Duncan Robinson hits 7 threes. You know, there's. Duncan, you know, getting more playing time in that final game. We'll see what his outlook does look like for this series, but
I think I've almost kind of forgot about Oladipo. But I think he could be a little X factor with Hero, though. I mean, you know, he's not going to be as consistent as you want Hero to be, and you shouldn't really expect that from him coming off what he's been through and such, but I think just with his athleticism in general is just he could be a threat to a good defensive team. Just being able to move and be quick off the ball and on the ball. So, I 100% agree with you about Tyler Hero. He has to. He has to at least be 2 points to 2 points above his average almost every game. I mean, give him one game. I mean, dude, you just won a Sixth Man of the Year award. You didn't see Mr. Sixth Man himself doing that. I mean, you get the award, don't underperform in the playoffs. That playoffs is when it matters. Regular season, any of the players will tell you, is just, you know, it matters a little, but they're not playing full basketball, 100% out. We're going for this title basketball. This is a different game. And if you're not going to show up in the playoffs, then the award doesn't matter. But I agree with you. Tyler Hero is a big X factor for the Heat. But I think Bam could have a good series. Especially if Robert Williams is not consistently playing.
Right. Bam really needs to have a good series. It's going
to
be important for Bam to get going. I mean, the Celtics have the edge with Marcus Smart at point guard right now. You know, they have a slight edge with Tatum over Jimmy. I think they have, you know, they have the edge with Jaylen Brown. In terms of guarding Jimmy Butler, you have, again, Marcus Smart can guard him, Jason Tatum can kind of guard him. Jaylen Brown can kind of guard him. Grant Williams can probably guard him. And I'm worried that Miami can't score as much as they can, as much as they need to. At the same time, P.J. Tucker and Jimmy Butler both are going to guard Tatum, and I think that could go really well.
Yeah.
I think you could see Tatum get, you know, really bothered and frustrated in this series.
That is, I think we haven't touched enough yet on the Heat's defense ability.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see. Obviously, he's a really talented, immature player. So,
but they'll definitely be able to bother him. They'll bother Jaylen Brown. I think that's a big thing. Is Jason Tatum just can't be by himself.
Tatum,
I just think a good game plan is to maybe slow Brown down and see if Jaylen can just do it himself.
Looking back at that series, Tatum had 31 in game five, and he had 30 in game one, that 2020 bubble, mm-hmm. Eastern Conference Finals. But, you know, he didn't really have any crazy games outside of those two. That was actually, if you remember, too. I mean, well, first of all, it was Bam, you know, having 30-point games, having 27-point games, having a great series. It was also Tyler Hero's kind of breaking out party a little bit. So, you know, maybe there is something within this matchup. Obviously, the teams look different. It's a year and a half. You know, it's basically 2 years later. But maybe there is something for those two that can help them get going. And, again, Miami does have, I think, the edge in toughness. They have the home court advantage, and they have the edge in coaching as well. You know, I know he's done a great job for Boston in year one. Yes, I mean, I think he's going to be a really good coach in this league for a while.
Yeah.
It's also year one. You know, it's also first year in the playoffs against Eric Spoelstra.
Oh, no. Eric Spoelstra is definitely the more seasoned and veteran.
I mean, Eric Spoelstra has just demonstrated over and over again the ability to coach at a high level.
Well, I mean, no one expected the Heat to even be that good in the bubble.
I just think both of these teams are a championship level teams in a. It's going to be hard for either of these teams to lose.
This series is going to be a blast, man. I cannot wait. There's going to be some vicious scoring and some. There's going to be some scrambles and chest. Lost words there. I'm out of it.
At the end of the day, you know, I'm going to go Heat in seven.
Okay. I'll do Boston. You do the Heat.
I think the home court advantage will be
massive. They get game seven and stuff, don't they? That's right, because they were the one seed. That's right. Boston lost it at the end.
I think the combination of experience and home court advantage and maybe just a slight depth advantage for Miami as well.
Do you think if they lose one of these at home, one of the first two, that just kind of like...
Well, then you just got to get one on the road. You know, I don't know. I don't know if you can or not.
Miami hasn't lost at home yet, have they?
No.
Are they one of the two teams like the Warriors?
They have not lost at home. They've lost three games this playoffs, two in Philly, one in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's right.
They've won one in Philly, and they won one in Atlanta as well.
That's okay.
They are 8-3 in the playoffs.
It's going to be a fun game. I'm so excited. I love
this.
I'm very pumped.
And I have no idea what to expect, honestly. I mean, besides toughness, defense, coaching, there's the typical buzzwords. Like, I don't know who's going to win this game, but I like the Heat to protect home court, and I like the Heat in seven.
I like it. One of us is going to be right.
Well, it's usually how it goes. But, stay with us right here on The Blitz. Keep talking sports on the other side. Back here on The Blitz. Hey, phone lines are open. The G3 Help Me hotlines are open, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. That is your number to call in. Get on with us here on the G3 Help Me hotlines. We want to hear from you. As we were talking a little Eastern Conference Finals there, we have some more Tennessee news to get into as well, so we'd love to hear your thoughts. But again, tonight for Tennessee, it is senior night with the Belmont Bruins coming to town. Tennessee back now to consensus number one. Every single poll has Tennessee as the number one team in the country, and rightfully so, especially after Oregon State struggled over the weekend with Arizona. I don't know why that took me so long to just remember. But yeah, especially with him struggling on the road against Arizona, you know, it was a very logical choice for that to be the case. But
to knock us out of number one, I thought was a little bit...
Yeah, I mean, I think that was just someone that wanted some clicks.
Yeah, because as dominant as we've been, it's only fair to have a couple, 3 weeks maybe of just not even slumping like we do. We lost one series, man. But everyone else has struggled all season. But because we have a 3 week maybe slump, it's so
dodgy. Yeah, I don't even, it wasn't really even like a slump.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's barely. Because we didn't lose a series. We lost the one to Kentucky, but that was in just the worst weather possible. So I don't know. I thought it was a huge leap of just please.
Well, you're back in number one. You're gonna stay at number one. Tennessee, obviously. I mean, at this point, you're building towards winning an SEC championship now in the tournament. You're building towards what you're going to do in the postseason as you continue to be one of the best in the country. I mean, leading the country in home runs, in slugging percentage, in ERA, hits allowed per nine, strikeout to walk ratio, whip. I mean, really just one of the best teams in the country in every single statistical category. What you're looking at tonight for this Belmont team, they're coming off a sweep of Eastern Illinois this past weekend. they are 14-5 with sweeps over Purdue, UT Martin, and Eastern Illinois, all since April 14th. They are pitching a guy tonight, Jordan Zuger, who really is a pretty good arm for them. A Hendersonville, Tennessee kid, a guy that's just started a bunch of midweeks for them and has been pretty effective.
Are most of their kids from middle to outer middle Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, they are a largely in-state school, so this is a big game for Belmont in more ways than one. I mean, obviously, you know, when you're Belmont, it's like the same effort that you get from Tennessee Tech or UT Martin or like ETSU, and you just get a lot of in-state kids that you get the opportunity to beat. You know, one of the premier programs in your state. Like, there's going to be a lot of extra juice for this Belmont team tonight. Not to mention that, again, they feel like they could have a pretty decent case for an at-large bid if they win this game, get that RPI up, and then sweep again this weekend. So you're going to get everything from Belmont tonight. You know, you're going to see their best pitchers. You're not going to see their weekend starters, obviously, which, you know, they have some good weekend starters, but you're going to see their best relievers. You're going to see one of the best closers in the country in Kyle Brennan. Like, you're going to see some really good batters. You know, they have a center fielder, again, who's like a 30-30 guy. Like, not actually, but, like, I mean, that's like what he could project to in you know, his best form of himself, a guy that hits over 400 and has 38 stolen bases.
God.
That could be a problem there just alone.
It's a Belmont, a team that's pretty aggressive on the base pass, so they actually could be an issue tonight for them. Really could. But, you know, you're going to get the best effort from Belmont, as you do for most teams. Tennessee's obviously used to getting that kind of effort from teams. Tonight, you're going to see Xander Sechrist.
You think we see a bunch of different arms, too?
But
like,
I think
we throw Aro a bunch of different arms out.
I don't see Sechrist going a long time tonight. I think you'll probably see a lot of different guys.
Cause it's senior night, isn't it? That's what they're saying. That's what they told us this morning.
Exactly. So I think, you know, I think you'll see some guys. Just not only that, normally in the last game like this of the year, the last midweek game, this could be the last guy the last game like some guys play all year.
So they'll get to see a lot more field time and such.
It's like maybe you see Charlie Taylor get some at-bats, or maybe you see Logan Chambers or, you know, Ethan Payne or whatever else. You know, probably not, but you might see one of them. And then, you know, pitching-wise, maybe you see a Fitzgibbons or, you know, a Wyatt Evans or, you know, something of that nature. Maybe an Ethan Smith. Like, you're going to see some guys that probably pitch tonight or hit tonight, and then that's it. You know, your roster shrinks a little bit. You're going to get to play Mississippi State, and then it's postseason baseball. So you know, you're going to see some seniors get their opportunity tonight, and you're going to see some guys that don't always get to play tonight. Which, not even like trying to instigate, but
that could,
you know, playing, I would say probably the best midweek opponent you've played all, or it's easily the best midweek opponent you've played all year, when maybe you're not putting your best lineup together, or necessarily throwing your best arms for the entirety of the night.
Yeah.
I don't think it's unfair to say that Tennessee, facing a little bit more danger in this one than they have in most.
And all of them?
Will that translate to a loss? You know, I don't really know. I doubt it.
I think, yeah,
Tennessee just doesn't really lose that often. You know, it's tough for Tennessee to lose, especially one of these midweeks. And
we'd have to
play the odds of that happening twice in a year is slim, but
we'd have to play bad all around. And it being senior night, everyone's going to try to have at least a fun time and at least a good game.
Yeah, I mean, last game in Lindsey Nelson.
You're going to put on a show. I do see what you're saying, because, I mean, it is, you're putting out kids that you don't normally play because it is senior night. So you might see a couple. So, I mean, you might see some scoring from Belmont tonight, 4 or 5 runs probably, you know, while we're shuffling through the lineup consistently and just throwing kids in and out. So, it'd probably be an entertaining game.
I think so. I think it'll be a pretty entertaining game.
Instead of just, you know, a normal midweek game where you're not really expected too much from your opponent, and you just get to see the Vols blast a couple homers and something like that, you might get to see a couple of everything now. So, this could turn into a little bit of a battle, but, again, it's senior night. Probably Vols aren't going to lose. I doubt it.
Really looking forward to this weekend, though, going down to the Dude.
I do love that field.
Going into the last weekend, there is still a lot to be decided in the SEC in terms of the standings. So the last two teams obviously don't make it. And then from there, you know, you still have to finish in decent standing to avoid the first single loss games. You know, to avoid the bye, like there's a race to avoid the bye as well. You know, your current tournament seeding, if we started today, would be Tennessee 1, obviously, clinched. Texas A&M 2, as they hold the tiebreaker over Arkansas. Arkansas 3 and Auburn 4. Those teams have all clinched a spot in the SEC tournament, as have Florida, Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, Georgia, LSU. But those top four teams, again, you get that bye. Vanderbilt, Georgia, and LSU, those three teams are tied for 5, 6, and 7 with a tiebreaker undetermined currently.
Okay.
And then Ole Miss and Florida tied for 8 and 9. So Ole Miss has made a really nice late-season push to get back into the SEC tournament, and those tiebreakers are undetermined. Then South Carolina 10, Alabama 11, and Kentucky 12. Alabama really fell off. And right now it's Mississippi State, Missouri that would be held out of the SEC tournament. Your SEC series this weekend.
Man, that sucks for Mississippi State. Coming off that such a high to go to such a low. That's nothing that I expected.
Everyone just got hurt.
Yeah. It still sucks.
Yeah, I mean, everyone just got hurt. So, you know, that would be your current standing still. Obviously, like, not separated by a ton here.
No, that midfield is just, man, that's crazy. 22-5 in conference for us.
Yeah, I mean,
everyone else
is
14-13, 13-14, 14-13, 13-14. Man.
So this weekend, I mean, that'll really be, well, I mean, it is the last weekend, so like that'll decide a lot more than usual, as well. And looking at these weekend series, obviously you have Tennessee and Mississippi State. These series, all of them start Thursday, by the way. You have Auburn and Kentucky, who, you know, Kentucky trying to stay in the SEC tournament.
They'll take one of those.
They're trying to stay above Mississippi State at this point, who is pretty much done, unless they can figure out a way to somehow win a series against Tennessee, and that would maybe not even be enough. Then they're done. I think Missouri's done too. So really, I think it's more jockeying for a position than anything this week.
Yeah.
But you have Kentucky, Auburn, Missouri, Georgia, Arkansas, Alabama, LSU, Vandy, South Carolina, Florida, and A&M, Ole Miss.
That A&M, Ole Miss game will be interesting.
I think really a lot of interesting games this weekend.
Arkansas, Alabama, I'll probably watch.
But, yeah, A&M, Ole Miss, and LSU, Vandy, probably the two that catch my eye most. But Tennessee at this point.
Locked in. We're ready for the postseason.
You know, I mean, you have the luxury of knowing exactly when you're going to play.
Yeah. I hope that doesn't make us lose focus, though, too, at the same time. I just don't think we're that type of team. I don't think Vitello is the type of coach to let that happen. But I just, it's always in the back of my mind. Complacency creeps in, man. It's just don't. I hate that. It just always creeps in the back of my mind. It's just, I hope they don't get complacent. But it's just, I don't think Vitello is the type of coach to let that happen, especially this. I don't think our players are the type of players.
But yeah, I mean, but you already know, like, you finished number one. So, like, you're going to be playing next Wednesday at 4:30 p.m.
That's the SEC tournament?
Yeah, and you're going to be in that double elimination. You're going to be playing a team that played on Tuesday from that single elimination side. And you're playing I lost it. Yeah, you're playing, again, the winner of the 8-9 game, which would either be Ole Miss or Florida right now. So you know a lot going into this weekend, and then you'll figure it all out by Sunday. But hour one done, hour two on deck. Stay with us right here on The Blitz.